Welcome to the latest edition of Ipswich Town Insights. This is episode 5. I'm Chris Brammer and I'm joined by Arch and Chief football writer Stuart Watson to assess Saturday's defeat and the first month of the season for Ipswich Town, which has been a pretty positive one in most respects. Stu, first of all, we'll look straight away at the Fulham game on Saturday. Step too far for Town, or were just Fulham too good?
Yeah, I think we said this in our Facebook Live video straight after the game. Probably a combination of both, really. Fulham, excellent. I don't think we'll see a better side at Portman Road all year. Everything we saw from them last season and more. Midfield dominant, Tom Kearney in particular. The two fullbacks bombing on constantly. Sessegnon Young down the left in particular. They probably were better than last season in the respect that they added the dirty side of the game to it as well. As good as they were on the ball, they pressed off of it as well. But I have to say, Ipswich didn't help themselves really in terms of the rare times that they did get the ball. They made poor decisions and they wasted it. So those two things combined made for a bad day at the office. But as you said right at the start, doesn't take away from a good, encouraging start to the month.
From my point of view yesterday, and I know this won't be the case because no football ever goes out with the intention of not winning the game, but the body language at times suggested to me that they'd gone out almost resigned to having less possession and almost resigned maybe to not keeping up that 100% winning record because it was Fulham and because of what happened last season and the fact that they've already surpassed expectations and taken 12 points from 12 prior to Saturday. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting point, actually. On Twitter, I used the term self-fulfilling prophecy. It was almost, Mick had said so much in the build-up that it's going to be very similar to the Brentford game, that they're going to have the lion's share of possession. And that kind of seemed to filter through to the players. We saw Freddie Sears in the build-up and he kind of parroted exactly what Mick had said in terms of they're going to have all of the ball and just like Brentford, we're going to have to be on the counter-attack. And I wonder if, you know, that message had been overdone in the build-up. And as you say, you know, the message that kept coming out was whatever happens on Saturday, we've had a good start to the season. And maybe they did kind of talk themselves into it a little bit on Saturday, because although it was a bold selection in terms of personnel from Mick, the way they set up was, you know, very much everyone behind the ball at times and just lacked a bit of that tempo and a bit of that high pressing that we'd seen in the first few games. And certainly as soon as that second goal went in, there was no sense that they were ever going to get back into it. So perhaps it was just a game too far after a hectic month, seventh game in 22 days, I think it was. Very long injury list, as we know, and just a game too far with the level of opposition that they faced. But as I keep saying, it shouldn't detract from what they'd achieved up until that point.
Yeah, it lacked tenacity for me, but compare that to the 2-0 defeat to Fulham on Boxing Day, and where do you see the Town team now compared to then?
I think if we're looking at this squad compared to last season, I think there's probably more quality. There's more quality, less quantity, which I think is a good thing. They probably carried too many squad players last year and last couple of years, really, which I don't think helps with team harmony behind the scenes. You want everyone to feel like they've got a role to play. And last year, they probably didn't help having Leon Best and Giles Koch and further back, your Peter Milicic and Larson Torre, people like that. Especially when funds are limited, I think it's better to put those funds into the areas that you really need them rather than spreading your resources too thin. And I think when everybody's fit, Ipswich have got a pretty competitive squad. It's obviously been a major blow with Emir Hughes and Adeyemi, two of the new boys, not being available, and obviously all the defenders being out as well. So considering all of those problems, it's been a very good start. And I know we kept saying that the level of the opposition would go up. Fulham, I don't think we'll see a better side at Portman Road this year. And I don't think we should take away on the flip side of that from the previous wins, because Millwall have just put 4 past Norwich at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Barnsley have put 3 past Sunderland at the weekend. So, you know, it's not as if they've steamrolled.
Those performances were coming, by the way, weren't they? Because we saw Millwall and Barnsley, and both teams went for Ipswich in that first half.
Yeah.
But for some shoddy defending on their part, it could have been different.
Absolutely. And we sat here and been honest enough to say that Ipswich had not exactly had it all their own way in those first 4 wins, and they'd ridden their luck. I think back to the Birmingham game first weekend. Birmingham probably had the better of the first half then. Barnsley certainly had the better of the first half. They were all over Ipswich, and how it was only 1-0 to Barnsley at the break at Oakwell, I'm not sure. And Millwall caused them plenty of problems, obviously scored three goals against Ipswich, and physically Ipswich struggled with them at times. And when that went to 3-3, they looked more likely to get the fourth goal at that stage. And Brentford, again, were all over Ipswich in the first half, weren't they? And perhaps fortunate to be 0-0. But Ipswich, credit to them, they stuck at their task, they stuck with it, and they were clinical when their chances came. So I don't think you can take anything away from those games. I've seen a lot of people saying, well, you know, it was only Millwall, it was only Barnsley. The fact of the matter is, they did stick to the task, they showed character when was required, and they took their chances. And they've shown a lot of the things that, you know, we sat here before a ball was kicked and we said, what's our wish list this season? We wanted Mick to be more positive with his team selections. He's done that. We wanted the style of play to be more entertaining and a bit more dynamic. It's certainly been that. We wanted to see the kids given a chance, and that's happened. So I think all in all, it's been a very good start to the season. Bit of a reality check on Saturday, but Ipswich were never really, I know they're still second in the league. I still don't see them as a top six contenders this year. I think they're mid-table at best. Saturday showed that. And the performances on a whole have given us hope that it's going to be a more entertaining, enjoyable season. And that's all we wanted.
Of course, now we've got the two-week international break. I don't think Town play again until September 9th. At QPR, and that starts another tough run of games. Six games in September, so you've got QPR, Derby and Leeds United away, Bolton, Sunderland, Bristol City at home. So a mix of teams that are up there doing well, and other teams, for instance, like Bolton that are down there scrapping at the moment. What do you make of that set of games?
Yeah, I think that those six games that you mentioned there are probably tougher on paper than the five games that they've played thus far. Some daunting, some looking eminently winnable in there. I think Sunderland's still obviously adapting to life in the Championship at the moment. Bristol City I had down as one of my three to go down, along with Bolton. So those two at home, you've got a good chance to try and develop a bit of home form. The Fulham defeat aside, obviously. But obviously trips to Derby and Leeds are going to be tough. Tom Lawrence at Derby, of course.
Got booked on his debut yesterday, I believe.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. I just see Ipswich as being a side that will win some, lose some this season, which sounds quite a glib comment to make. But last year, they were very inconsistent, weren't able to string results together. I hope this year that there's sort of a more positive way of playing enables them to have some good runs as well as some bad runs. And I think overall they'll be a better side than last year.
And in terms of transfers, we've got the transfer window set to close on Thursday at 11 o'clock at night. And Mick McCarthy's come out and said that he's confident of landing in possibly one, maybe two centre-halves. Jack Hobbs of Nottingham Forest, very experienced campaigner, has been linked this morning. Jonas Olsen, who spent several seasons in the Premier League with West Brom, he's another name that's been linked and I think played in the game that Mick watched last weekend in Sweden. Either or both of those would be good additions. And do you think they're realistic targets?
I think so, yeah. Both tick the boxes. I asked Mick in his press conference prior to the weekend about his trip to Sweden. Typically tight-lipped, but he was saying that his preference will still be British players, or certainly players with Championship experience. So Jonas Olsen, you know, certainly fits that bill in terms of he's 34, he's been there and done it in English football. Most of his games have been in the Premier League. 6'5", quite a character, quite a strong character, so I think he'd add a bit of leadership. He'd be a very good short-term fix. I think the Swedish top flight finishes in November time, so there might be a deal to be done there with him. Jack Hobbs would be my preference. You know, he's played for Hull, he's played for Leicester, he's got 200 plus appearances in the Championship. I think he's had a few injury problems in recent years that have restricted him, but again, he'd be a very good one to get in as a bit of a short-term fix, because they certainly need one. I think, as well as that makeshift back four did against Brentford, you know, you don't want to be putting out a back four of fullbacks, you know, over a prolonged period of time. Dominic Iorfa had a a tough game at right back at the weekend. May have been different had he had Luke Chambers, you know, an experienced captain alongside him, trying to guide him through the game a little bit more. So they need a leader. They need a bit of experience, because Mick said that there's no sign of Chambers, Smith or Webster coming back anytime soon.
It's a bit of a blow, isn't it? All three established centre-halves being out. So far, if I could ask you to name me, give me one positive and one negative from the season, what would they be?
It'd be difficult to just pick one positive, because I think there's been several. If you wanted my absolute top positive so far, it would be the extra entertainment. I think that was my biggest gripe and most people's biggest gripe last year, that there was just no value for money in terms of turning up at Portman Road and getting dished up some pretty dire, forgettable football. And Mick seems to have taken that on board, whether the downturn in season ticket sales have had an effect in how he's gone about things, I don't know. But positive lineups, he's not been bigging up the opposition so much. He's not been picking his formation to match up the opposition. Four strikers on the pitch, and they've just gone for it a lot more, and it's made for far better, easier on the eye football.
And your negative? If we're going to be ultra critical, because let's be fair, no one really expected this from the first month of the season. So there's obviously more positives than negatives, but it's not been perfect, has it?
I guess a negative, and there's not been too many, to be honest, would be Saturday's performance. Yes, Fulham were excellent, but just a few signs of Ipswich falling into their old habits of sitting too deep and letting the opposition come onto them too much. So I think there are lessons to be learned from Saturday's game against Fulham, as good as they were. I just don't want Ipswich to fall back into those old habits of being too cautious and allowing the opposition to dominate them too much. But it would be too harsh to focus on negatives at this stage. 12 points from 15, second in the league. Norwich second from bottom as well, which also helps. So overall, a good month of August, a deserved international break, hopefully a few players to come back from injuries, maybe some defensive cover added before the window shuts, and we can get a bit of momentum going once we return in a fortnight's time.
And you're looking forward to your own international break, Sue?
Yeah, it's been a pretty hectic start to the season. We've obviously both been trying to add a bit of extra to our coverage this year, haven't we? We're doing this podcast and a bit more Facebook Live and extra multimedia bits and pieces on top of the stuff we already do for the newspaper. So it's been a hectic start, 7 games in 22 days. So I think it'd be nice just to switch off from it from a couple of days if we can. But it's been fun. It's been helped by the fact that they've been winning some games.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed our coverage so far. We've certainly enjoyed bringing it to you, all the multimedia extras that we've done this season in terms of Facebook and this podcast, as Stu has just mentioned. Yep, it's the international break for 2 weeks now, but we'll still be milling around and trying to find stories over that period. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of activity certainly coming in to the club. We spoke to Bartosz Białkowski after the game yesterday, and he's once again pledged his future to Ipswich, so unlikely there'll be any outgoings. But I'm sure there'll be plenty going on building up to the game at QPR in a fortnight's time. Until then, thanks for listening, and it's bye for now.